Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to your name is great, and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
I don't know, but that makes us feel pretty good. Steve, when he was stepping down, he says, "We going to do more?" He's racing another course, what'd you say? Anyway, we're so glad to have you come, and we enjoyed doing that for you. That's quite a surprise for you folks, wasn't it? Yeah, it's a surprise to us, too. Nobody told us when we came to retreat yesterday that was part of the deal. So, But anyway, we did have a nice, for those that weren't, that didn't come, you missed a time of refreshing and fellowship with the other men at church. And we had, I think, about 15 or so of us here. We ate too much and talked too much and played too much. And had a little contest. I'm just going to tell you, we had a little, well, it was a competition. I don't know if you can call it a test, competition, whatever. But we had a trap shooting. And Pete, where's Pete? Pete Hammond was the grand trap shooter of the day. So. And so he did a good job on that. But Rash, we had a good time, had a lot of fun. And so next time we have one of those, you might think about signing up. That we didn't spend the night or nothing. We just came, ate, had played some games, shared with one another, went home, came back, did it the next day. It was great. Yes, thank you, ladies. That made we had for the dinner and the breakfast or the continental breakfast was provided and the lunch. We thank you so much, and the work that it took to get that ready. Going to be a busy week here at Life in Christ. Oh, by the way, welcome. You got so excited with what we did. Welcome. We're glad you're here. I know there's at least one gentleman here for the first time. Welcome. We're glad you're with us. And those, if you've been with us, you come with one time, that's great. Come back, that's better. Come visit us as much as you can, and we'll welcome you every time you do. So that'll be those there on Zoom. God bless you. Welcome to have you. Glad you're with us. We even had some other visitors. Jesse, you know, anybody know Jesse? Jesse Crook. Anybody have not met Jesse Crook? If you have not met Jesse Crook, you haven't come here, I'm going to tell you. You know, Jesse, she goes out this morning. These fellas over here working on the buildings next to us, putting up the apartments. She goes, come on over and have some coffee and donuts. And they did. And so Jesse, she drags them in from everywhere. Great, great. But yeah, with her, it's her personality. But these three young men come in. One was from Honduras, and one was from Costa Rica, and one was from Venezuela. And so they were. And he asked us, what kind of church this is? And I said, it's a Christian church. We believe in Jesus Christ. And he was familiar with Catholic church, of course. And so we just, you know, but it was good to have him come in. Go ahead, Jesse. Anyway, yeah, we've had a lot of blessings already this morning, and the weather, how gorgeous it is out there. Yeah, but like I said, we got a busy week this week. Board meeting tomorrow night for those on the board. I want to just again, you're always welcome to come and be a part of that if you have something you want to say or see or talk to Dan about that and make you a part of that. On Tuesday, not only do the ladies have their prayer breakfast Tuesday mornings, but they have their secret sister reveal party on evening or dinner, what you want to call it, on Tuesday evening. It's at 5:30. Bring your final gift and reveal to your senior secret sister who's been giving her the little treats throughout the year, who's been remembering birthdays, anniversaries, and stuff. So that's on Tuesday night. Wednesday night, the women to start your Bible study. Of course, we have a noon prayer meeting. Women start your Bible study on Wednesday night, and then Thursday night is choir meetings. So you ought to have enough to do this week. If you don't have enough to do, then join one of the other activities, and you will have enough to do. If you sit at home and say, I don't have nothing to do, I never get to do nothing, well, come join the choir. You know, you can have something to do. Anyway, and then men's breakfast will be the 7th this time. It's normally on the 2nd Saturday, but this because of we're going to be busy here on the 14th, the men's breakfast will be on the 7th. And on the 14th, it's Crop and Craft, which is a big event that happens. I'm sorry. Oh, well, I'm just, oh, the 13th, that event will there'll be people needed to help get that ready also. So when you get closer to that next week, if you want to volunteer for that, let us know so you can be a part of that still. You know, we traveled down to Tennessee this last week to Knoxville, or not to Knoxville, but to Pigeon Forge area, not too far from Knoxville, but to Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg area, for the Southern Gospel Concert Convention. And so we were down there having a good time at that convention and all. And I was outside one evening, a couple evenings, by the way, and then I looked out, and I seen this big moon standing up there above the mountains. Big, beautiful, round moon. And I thought, you know, on the fourth day, when God created this world, on the fourth day, he put that big moon up there. And he said, this is the rule of the night. This moon is the light that rules the night. You know, he has another one, it's the day, and the sun to rule the day. I looked out over that, and I saw that big moon up there. The other day we got home, and I looked out over my back porch, and I saw that big moon out there. You know, whether I was in Tennessee, or whether I was in Orient, Ohio, or whether I be over in some foreign land, I can look up, and I can see that big moon that rules the sky, proclaiming God is creator. God has made. God has set forth. God is in charge, and God, he loves. You know, it's another thing, just like a big old message saying, I love you. I love you. Somebody up there loves me. Isn't that wonderful to know? God bless you all. Thanks for coming.
I want to thank these young men right here that help out at the drop of a hat, Thaddeus and your brother. I grew up in a small church. I was the only boy. I don't know how many times I walked down that little aisle after church, and I hear my dad saying, well, Dave will take care of that this week. What? What do you mean take it? If anything came up, Dave will take care of that, and he'll rise to the occasion. And I'd get home and find out my assignment. But I thank you for your willingness to serve the Lord. Let's stand, shall we? We will glorify.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before his throne. We will worship him in righteousness. We will worship him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to him we give. Alleluia to the King of Kings. Alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the star, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout in heaven's displayed. Then sings my soul, Savior God, thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. You make a great choir this morning. Let's read, shall we? Ephesians 2. Let's read together. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest phrase, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone. Darkness seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Christ, save your love.
Father, that's a powerful statement this morning. He is Lord. That's our acknowledgement to you, Lord, that you are the Lord God that we worship today. Nobody matches you. Nobody rises above you, Lord. We need you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everybody. We had a good retreat. I'll show some slides during my presentation about some of the things we did. But I think we had a fun time. Nobody got shot, so that was good. Some of the skeet didn't get shot either, but that's a different story. So we had a lot of fun with that. Anybody know what? How does popcorn work? Popcorn, what do you do with popcorn? You eat it, you pop it. It's a little kernel and it pops, right? And it just takes a second for that thing to pop, doesn't it? Boop. That's it. Well, we did testimonies last week, and it wasn't popcorn testimony. It was like a slow roast. We probably spent 15, 20 minutes or more on testimony. So this week we're going to do popcorn testimonies, which means you get up and say, I just want to thank God for doing this for me this week, or can you pray for that for me? So that, well, we're going to try that this week, just so we don't go as long. If you have a long thing to say, then let me know first. Now that I said that, nobody's going to share anything, are you? So, who wants to share this morning what God's been doing? Well, Jessie's not shy. She's going to forget the rest of you. Jessie's going to share for all of you then. You only get two pops then.
Chris drove, and we went to Stone
Mountain?
Lodestar Mountain Inn, down in West Virginia, about six hours away. What a wonderful time of just gathering with other people in the faith. And I'll tell you, it rained. Our room was high in the attic. It rained. We lost electricity. It rained. But in all of that, there wasn't one person that complained. And because we were just so full of the faith, and I think I've talked long enough, Bob. So here you go. But praising the Lord, and I'm still just full of, just filled up with the blessing of that time. It was, and Sam and Pam were there too. And they've been, it was like their, I think their second home. So going back in two more weeks, and they're the singers of that great place. So it was a blessing. Sorry.
Did Chris want to say anything?
Sorry.
Well, yeah, she made me stand up, so I better say something. But I'll try to be quick. I thank God that I had Jesse with me, who we sang little songs, and we just had a wonderful fellowship together the whole way down and back. And I thank God that I was able to find gas in my car at the end of that little trip, because when you're in the mountains of West Virginia and you're out of gas, you're in trouble. So I thank God that he helped us get down that mountain and find gas.
I'd forgotten that one, Chris.
Well, you can always coast down, Chris, if you run out of gas.
Well, I'd just like to say it was a good weekend for the men. You do get to know others a little better. I just hope that wasn't a sneaky way to get us in the choir.
I know nothing about that aspect of it. That's all Dave if it's him. I don't know.
Tell you all the story, I'd be here all day. But just think that Jared's 22 today.
Said Jared's 22, he's a miracle baby.
Okay, I had asked for prayer for my nephew. His name is Tim Wilson. He's at boot camp in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. And he has a couple weeks left for graduation, and now he has heard his ankle, but he doesn't want to, if he goes on to, like, he's injured leave, then he can't graduate on time because he has to finish these last requirements. So just pray that his ankle can make it through and he can graduate and get on to his next assignment. And we're just praying for him to come back to his faith as well. So that's the big prayer, but just remember my nephew, Tim. Thanks.
Roxanne was first, Brian, so she goes first.
Well, I just want to say what a blessing it was to have the men sing this morning. I had checked the bulletin when I was here Thursday night, and I kind of knew it was going to happen, so I've been excited since Thursday about the very idea. But who would have guessed they had such wonderful voices? I mean, you've been holding out on us. So, what, Pastor, what's that verse about hiding your light under a bushel?
Pray for Linda and Holly this morning. They're traveling to Pigeon Forge, I think they said, for something or other. So she sent me a text this morning saying to pray for them and for those who are sick and not doing well. And we got people that have surgeries coming up and illnesses that they're dealing with, it, hoping that God's going to heal those things. And people that can't be here this morning, you know, because of different circumstances. So let's just pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for being with us. Thanks for the retreat that we were able to have and get together as men and spend some time talking and playing games and listening to your word. Be with us this morning, Lord, as we are here gathered together to hear what you have to say to each one of us. Pray for your message and for the music that we're going to hear, and be with all the requests for this young man that's in boot camp trying to get through a hurt ankle. And we pray you'd help him to call on you. Say, God, I need help, and that you would answer and he would see that you're real and his faith can be renewed. Be with our family and our friends that don't know you. Pray they would know you in a deeper way, and that we could be witnesses for them. Be with this construction taking place across the field there, that that'll be a field of harvest for you. And be with the workers, keep them safe as they're on that roof doing things, and the ones who come and play disc golf, and all the ones who come to the church and pass by and wonder what's happening. Pray that we can be a light on the hill for them to see that Jesus is real. And for those on Zoom, that we have that capability. For those who do sound in our computers and keep our grounds up and set up food for us and secretarial work and treasures and all these things we do. And we just pray you just help us to glorify you. It's not for us to gain fame or fortune, but it's for us to help people to see that you're real. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, Dan, just hold off a little bit on the track. And I got a little bit of scripture here I'd like to share. God has always been good in that. I'm going to be singing of God's love this morning. But here in 1 John 4, and it starts with verse 9, this is how God shows his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And in verse 10, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Everybody knows John 3:16 and that. I won't repeat that and that. But God loves us so much, he gave it all for us, and that we should not have that conflict otherwise, but to seek him, to know his love and share with other people around us. That's the important part of that. Okay, Dan.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. the guilty pair, bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his the oceans fill, and where the skies of parchment name, where every star on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade to write the
was our theme this weekend, Becoming Mighty Men of God. I took a few snapshots, but I didn't take a whole bunch, but I took a few, so. These are the foosball maniacs here playing. I don't know who won, but they're playing. That was Steve and I playing air hockey. That's Matt. If you don't know Matt, he's not here this morning. He had to work. He had to fly to Chicago. But him and Pete, so Pete was getting warmed up, I think, for skeet shooting, I'm not sure. And you got John there as well, and so I was eating, of course, we had Subway the second day. And they were, I don't know what they were talking about. It looked pretty serious. And I got Dave chewing. I waited to get that, capture that picture there for Dave. But we had a good time there. We had a lot of activities for the guys. And Judy and Kathy took care of all our food for us, so that worked out really well for us. So thanks for helping out with that. And then I found out Dave's a pretty good speaker, so if I ever get sick one Sunday morning and Russ can't do it, then I'll be calling Dave. Oh, I didn't tell you that, did I, Dave? So we're talking about the cost of refusing to change this morning. And change can be something good or something bad, right? I mean, we've had good changes, bad changes, depends on what they are in our lives. And I remember going to meet my son at the airport when he was at college, and he was in California. First, I wanted to fly there with him. He's like, no, Dad, I'll be okay. I'm like, what? So he took off, and I didn't see him for I don't know how long. It was a few months. Came back, and we're at the airport, and I'm looking for him, looking, seeing where he is. I don't see him anywhere. I see this guy walking there like this. And I'm like, is that Josiah? I'm like, it was Josiah. He must be lifting weights. He was, like, huge. You know, he went there, was kind of a little skinny guy, and he came back, and he was all huge, and I thought, man, did he change. And it was a good change for him. Then there was a time I was visiting somebody. One of my friends came in the room. And they were just a couple years older than me. And I was, like, kind of shocked in my mind when I saw them. They were kind of hunched over. And their hair was really gray, which it wasn't that much before. And I thought, what in the world happened to them? They looked frail, kind of bent over, and then found out they were underneath a lot of stress. So that stress had just caused them to change. And I'm like, man, that was a quick change that I didn't expect to see. But stress really has an effect on people. And that change was not good for them. I hardly recognized them at first. But here's a situation we often hear about. You have this young couple madly in love. You know, they appear to be in love, but underneath there's a few problems. One of them's a Christian and one of them is not. And the friends and family are like, you know, this is going to be hard. You better think about this. You better talk about it. They're like, no, they'll change after we get married. That's what we always say. Sure enough, they didn't change. And what either happens is either one goes to church and the other doesn't. Doesn't matter if it's the guy or the girl that's a Christian. Sometimes it leads to quarrels and fights. And they may refuse to see it. Ultimately, it could lead to those kids never hearing about the gospel or the parents separating. You just don't know what's going to happen. But some types of change we can affect or implement, and others we can do nothing about. It just happens, right? Some changes we can't control. They just happen. But the changes that we can change, if we don't do those, there could be a cost for those things if we decide not to change. Proverbs 29:1 says, whoever remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. So Brian is going to stand and show us an example of what that looks like. Brian, you were showing me this morning. Now, I'd like to see that with the congregation, what that looked like. He's walking around. I'm like, what are you doing, Brian? He's like, I'm stiff-necked. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'd never seen it displayed before, and you probably haven't either. So I figured he could show us what it looked like. Thanks for doing that, Brian. It's a change you hadn't planned on, but it happened. Well, he that's often reproved or hardeth his neck is a man of reproofs, one who has had a long experience of rebukes and warnings compared to a man of sorrows. The hardening or stiffening of the neck is a metaphor derived from obstinate draft animals who will not submit to the yoke. I mean, we're not really all farmers, but if you had a draft animal, an ox or something, try to make it do what you want, and it won't move, it won't do anything, it keeps its neck stiff. That's what they're talking about. It's just going to keep going, and you're not going to change that. They don't want to submit. So Christ says his yoke is easy and bids his followers to bear it bravely. Reproofs may arise from the Holy Spirit, which means we may be told you're not doing this right, something's wrong, you need to change this, or our conscience can tell us something's happening, we're not doing what we're supposed to do. We can hopefully learn from the past or from counsel with friends. So if we're being stiff-necked, sometimes we call it stubborn, don't we? You're being stubborn, you're being obstinate, you're not doing what you should do, and you know you shouldn't do this, but you're going to do it anyway. You ever have anybody tell you not to do something? You're like, well, yeah, well, I'm just going to do that then. It's not usually a good result because it's usually something dumb they tell you not to do and you decide you're going to do it anyway. And then you have to bear the embarrassment of going through the pain or anguish because you did what you weren't supposed to do. And they say, don't touch that. Oh, really? Why can't I touch that? You know, that kind of stuff. Is it true? Does he do it every day, Heather? Is that him? Doesn't listen at all to you? This verse says you'll suddenly be destroyed without remedy, and the incorrigible and self-deluding sinners come to a fear and a sudden end, even though retribution, or that means punishment, could be delayed. You may not see the result, but sometimes you'll see it later on. Any of you guys play football in high school at all? One, two people, three, four. Do you have injuries now sustained from that you didn't know you were going to have now that you have? Like a compressed spine or a crack here or injury there or leg or something like that? Something that happens later on. So he's talking about when you're stiff-necked and not do what you're supposed to do, what God wants you to do, something may happen, but it may not take effect until later on when that result shows up of what you shouldn't have done. It says there's no hope in the end. They despise all correction. They have no possibility of restoration. And in Hebrews 6:4, the fate of the Jews in the Septuagint says, "For when he is burning, suddenly there's no remedy." Everybody's had a burn at one time or another, right? What does that feel like when you get burned? What if you were doing that for eternity? You had that feeling for eternity. We don't talk about hell a lot of times because we want to talk about feel-good messages and everything's great and, you know, we don't have any troubles and issues, but that's not true. We do have issues and troubles and trials and struggles. And hopefully if we're doing things we shouldn't do, we find out that we turn around and do something different. We change for the better. If you look at society, Galatians tells some of the things that the Lord disapproves of and for which he gives us correction, but some parts of society approve of this. And it's up here. It says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are clear. Sexual immorality. We talked about a lot of these this weekend in the men's retreat. Impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. It says, let me tell you again, as I have before, anyone living that sort of a life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Can you see any of this happening today? Does any of this happen in the church? Sometimes it does, doesn't it? We call them secret sins, don't we? Where people are in these situations that they shouldn't be in. So the result of that tells us you won't be in heaven if you're doing these kinds of things. Instead, they'll be in hell, which correlates to one of the translations of Proverbs 29, where it talks about burning without remedy. Now, you wouldn't think hell would be bad if you just got there and burned up, right? But you're not going to get burned up. You're going to be suffering that torment forever. That's the problem. You're going to go there and suffer that kind of torment forever. So refusal to change has many poor results, even if we look past the spiritual. Here's a situation that I was thinking about that happens different times. You have a family that looks normal on the outside, even happy, and yet they have issues. The father gets up early and goes to work, and during his lunch he has a drink. He goes through his day, and after work he goes to the bar before he comes home. Comes home and yells at everybody. He demands his food and has a beer before he passes out, only to do the same the next day. Sunday morning he shaves and dresses up and is seen as an upright person in the church. After church he puts on his shorts, turns on the game, and has a beer. By the end of the day, he's drunk and abusive. His family winces when he gets home because they know he's going to find something wrong. His wife comes to him meekly, says she needs money for groceries, and he screams, "What'd you do with the money from last week?" She tells him that she bought groceries. He yells and gives her $50 and tells her that's going to have to last because the money's short. And the family walks on eggshells whenever he's around, hoping he will leave or pass out. You know any families like that? Never have a father that's been a drunk? I had that. My dad was an alcoholic. We had situations where he would drink and get mean and abusive. But people live with that. And there's a consequence. The marriage will fall apart. His kids are not going to want to have a relationship with him. There'll be an endless debt. And maybe even succumb to the effects of alcohol abuse. But there are too many families living like that, and it's kept a secret. And some people don't want to change. I don't know how you can live that kind of a lifestyle. How can you live in that way? Hopefully, somebody brings it to their attention, right, and they listen to it. But God's able to change the situation, but the person needs to be willing to change and seek help. Otherwise, it says they're going to be destroyed and not see the kingdom of God. We all want our parents and family and friends to be in heaven, right? It was good that Jesse talked to those guys this morning. They probably never heard anything different than the Catholic Church. Maybe nobody's ever spoke to them, because a lot of times when you speak a different language, probably, I don't know how good their English was, but when you speak a different language, you don't usually talk very much to people because you don't know if you're saying the right words. A lot of those guys that are working over here probably speak Spanish, so if you're a Spanish speaker, that'd be good, but they probably don't speak that. But they got a chance to hear a little bit this morning about that. Going to look at a couple examples this morning of a few biblical people in the Bible that were unwilling to change. And here's a short story that's kind of familiar. You probably will know it, but it's in Luke chapter 18. It says, a certain ruler asked him, which is Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" says, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered, "No one is good except God. You know the commandments. You should not commit adultery. You should not murder, not steal, not give a false testimony. Honor your father and mother." He said, "All these I've kept since I was a boy." Jesus heard this. He said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And then come follow me." And when he heard this, he became sad because he was very wealthy. So this guy knew all the laws. He obeyed everything he was supposed to do. And we can do that. We can know what the Bible says. We can come to church, do what think what we're supposed to do, but never accept Christ as our Savior. Right? You can show up every Sunday and not know Jesus personally. Jesus told him to sell what he had and give it to the poor. And you're like, what? What are you talking about? Why does he have to sell everything that he has? You want him to become poor? Is that the idea? Problem was the guy wasn't that he was rich. The problem was that he loved his riches more than anything else. He loved his money. And God wasn't a priority for him. Even though he was asking about how do I have eternal life, how do I enter the kingdom of heaven, he said, sell what you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. And the guy's like, I'm not going to do it. He had the opportunity, but he didn't want to change. Salvation wasn't worth the cost of him giving up what he had. So Jesus is not saying that money's bad, possessions are bad. He's saying if you love them more than me, then they're bad. Because we can use our possessions and our wealth and everything else to help people, to encourage people, to bring people to faith. But when you love them, then it's wrong. So he was asking for a drastic change. He's gone from being rich and famous to being a follower of the Lord. But he wasn't willing to do that. He may not have thought about refusing that change, what it was going to do that would have an eternal effect. But he would see it later on, wouldn't he? He would see that effect later on. But we all have areas in our life that we'd like to change. Maybe you'd like to lose weight. I don't know, too many people look in the mirror and say, I look pretty good today. We all have things that we may want to change. It could be anything, right? But there's a cost for all those things if we do it, and there's a cost if we don't. So why don't we do it? I'll tell you what I did recently. It was kind of funny, actually. I'm watching the internet, you know, a guy named Vince on the internet talks about getting in shape and all this other stuff, whatever. So I ordered his program, Get Fit in 90 Days, whatever it was. Put it on my computer, you know, and get it on there. And then my son the other day is like, so, Dad, how's that program going that you ordered? I'm like, I wouldn't know. I haven't looked at it since I bought it. Things come up, got in the way, and I was like, oh, I forgot all about that. I even had the thing, and I keep thinking I got to get back to doing that because I want to live as long as I can. You know, I'm planning on being in my 90s at least when I go, like 90, 98, maybe something like that. And I think the more active I can be is good, but I've got to put the effort into it. You know, it's a change for me to do these activities, whatever it is he wants me to do. I don't know yet because I didn't look at it, but I know it's good stuff. I know there's going to be positive results, but I got to be willing to pay the price. It's going to cost me to be in shape and to be where I want to be and do what I want to do, and it's going to be a sacrifice. It just has to be, the sacrifice has to be worth not me doing it than not doing it. Right? Does that make sense? Either I want to do it, it's going to be worth it, or I'm not going to do it and pay the price for not doing it. My kids tell me all the time, Dad, you got to stretch. You got to do this. You won't be able to move when you get old. You got to keep doing this stuff. I'm like, okay. You're like, did you stretch today, Dad? Nope. Then I remember occasionally to do it, and then I forget. So it's good to have reminders, but this can relate to our spiritual life. You know, God tells us to read his word, and maybe you're not one who ever reads the Bible. Doesn't mean you can't change. There's a cost to not reading God's word because you don't know what he says. You don't know the examples he gives, the mistakes others made that you don't have to make if you follow what he says. You won't be able to see that he's faithful and just in his discipline because we get disciplined at times. You'll be going through life spiritually blind with no guide. So the question is, are you willing to pay the price or the cost of not reading the word, or would you rather read the word and know what God wants you to do? Or maybe you're a person who doesn't think that prayer is important or refuse to change into a praying Christian. Then you're not going to see answers to your prayer. You're not going to find out what God wants you to do. The consequences will be a defeated life. So if you're walking around defeated, you're wondering, why is God not answering my prayers? The question is, are you praying them? Are you asking him? Are you going to him? God wants to be in relationship with you, not just an acquaintance. There's a difference, isn't there? If you're in a relationship or it's an acquaintance. Acquaintance is like, hey, how you doing? And you lie and say, fine. In a relationship, they say, hey, how you doing? And you say, I'm doing really bad. Could you help me with this? Could you? It's deeper than an acquaintance. It's more personal, and that's what he wants with us. You get to know people by talking and listening. It's the same with God. You get to know him by reading his word, which we just talked about. But you also need to talk and pray and then listen. You ever been in a conversation where you talk to somebody and you never get to say anything? They're talking the whole time. You may ask, hey, how you doing? Then they're like, well, you know, I was like, well, yeah, and then they go on. You're like, oh, goes. That's not really a conversation, is it? That's just them talking at you. But a conversation is when you talk back and forth and you share and, right, you get to know about each other and those kind of things. So if we don't pray to the Lord and refuse to do so, then there's going to be a cost. You won't have that communication with him. If you're doing things the Lord doesn't approve of and you refuse to change, there's a cost as well. First, it can be small, then it may escalate. Eventually, it's going to be a separation from him, isn't it? You're not going to be with him. Matthew 7:13 says, even enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. We live in a society where people want to do what they want to do. You notice that? More so now than before. I'm not just talking about on the highway. I mean, you see it on the highway. Your light's green. Theirs is red, and they still drive through. And you're like, what? What are you doing? Because it's more like a me society. They don't care if it's immoral or moral. If they want to do it, they're going to do it. They tell you God is just a name that they use when they get mad. They follow the crowd. They don't see a need to change. But we need to live as examples of people that can change. Your testimony is a story of how God changed your life. Where you were to where you are. Where you could have been. We need to be examples for people to see. And only the Holy Spirit can make that happen. So we need to look at our lives and see, is God wanting me to change something? And I'm kind of refusing to do that because it might be hard. And you have to ask yourself, is it worth the cost of not changing? What's the result if I don't change? And there's going to be a cost if we refuse. Or do I conform to be the image of God so I can be a witness for others? You know, we talked about some different people in the Bible. We talked about David and some of the things he did. He had a heart for God. His actions didn't always show that, but he came around, didn't he? Then he became a mighty warrior for the Lord. We talked about, I think Dave talked about Gideon. We talked about different ones. Gideon was thought of like the weakest one from the weakest tribe, and yet God used him in a mighty way because he was willing to follow what God wanted him to do. But the good thing about changing, it's your choice, isn't it? You can choose if you want to change or not change, but be willing to live with the result of whatever that choice is. So, well, let's pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for being with us today. We ask you would guide and direct us. Help us look at our lives, see if there's things that we need to change. Continue to make us into your image, to be like you. And be with those around who don't know you that need to know you. Pray for your Holy Spirit to go ahead of us, to work. Be with us this week. Guide and direct us. Keep us safe. Help us be used by you in your name. Amen.
We can do all this through the power of being in part of the family of God. Let's stand this morning, shall we?
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined earth with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God.
Let's sing it one more time.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by by his blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God.
Great. Go and have a great week. Thank you.